please, for our second reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. First Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Puah, Jashub and Shimron, four. And the sons of Tola, Uzi and Rephaiah and Jeriel and Jachmai and Jibsam and Shemuel, heads of their father's house, to wit, Tola. They were valiant men of might in their generations, whose number was in the days of David 22,600. And the sons of Uzi, Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah, Michael and Obadiah and Joel and Ishiah, five, all of them chief men. And with them, by their generations, after the house of their fathers, were bands of soldiers for war, 36,000 men. For they had many wives and sons, and their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might, reckoned in all by their genealogies 87,000. The sons of Benjamin, Bela and Becher, and Jediel, three. And the sons of Bela, Esbon and Uzi and Uziel and Jerimoth and Iri, five. Heads of the house of their fathers, mighty men of valor, and were reckoned by their genealogies 22,034. And the sons of Becher, Zemira, and Joash, and Eleazar, and Elioenai, and Omri, and Jeremoth, and Abiah, and Anathoth, and Alameth. All these are the sons of Becher. And the number of them, after their genealogy, by their generations, heads of the house of their fathers, mighty men of valor, was 20,200. The sons also of Jediel, Bilhan, and the sons of Bilhan, Jeush, and Benjamin, and Ehud, and Kenaana, and Zethan, and Tarshish, and Ahishahar. All these, the sons of Jediel, by the heads of their fathers, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers fit to go out for war and battle. Shupim also, and Chupim, the children of Ir, and Hushim, the sons of Aher. The sons of Naphtali, Jasiel, and Guni, Jezer, and Shalum, the sons of Bilhah. The sons of Manasseh, Ashriel, whom she bare, but his concubine, the Amramitess, bare Machir, the father of Gilead. And Machir took to wife the sister of Hupim and Shupim, whose sister's name was Ma'aka. And the name of the second was Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had daughters. And Ma'aka, the wife of Machir, bare a son, and she called his name Peresh. And the name of his brother was Sheresh, and his sons were Ulam and Rakem. And the sons of Ulam, Bedan, these were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh. And his sister, Hamoleket, bare Ishdod, and Abiezer, and Mahala. And the sons of Shemida were Ahinan, and Shechem, and Lekhi, and Anayim. And the sons of Ephraim, Shulethah, and Bered his son, and Tahat his son, and Elada his son, and Tahat his son. And Zabad his son, and Shutela his son, and Ezer and Eliad, whom the men of Gath that were born in that land slew, because they came down to take away their cattle. And Ephraim their father mourned many days, and his brethren came to comfort him. And when he went in to his wife, she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Beriah, because it went evil with his house. And his daughter was Sherah, who built Beth Horon the nether, and the upper, and Uzen Sherah. And Repha was his son, also Reshef, and Telah his son, and Tahan his son, Laadan his son, and Amihud his son, and Elishama his son. Nun, his son, Jehoshua, his son. And their possessions and habitations were Bethel and the towns thereof, and eastward Naaran, and westward Gezer, with the towns thereof, Shechem also, and the towns thereof, unto Gaza, and the towns thereof. And by the borders of the children of Manasseh, Beth Shean and her towns, Taanach and her town and her towns, Megiddo and her towns, Dor and her towns, in these dwelt the children of Joseph, the sons of Israel. The sons of Asher, Imnah, and Ishua, and Ishuae, or Ishuai, if you will, and Beriah and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber and Malkiel, who is the father of Birzavit. And Heber begat Japhlet and Shomer and Hotham and Shua, their sister. And the sons of Japhlet, Pasach and Bimhal and Ashvat. These are the children of Japhlet. And the sons of Shamer, Ahi, and Rohgah, Jehubah, and Aram. And the sons of his brother, Helam, Zophah, and Imnah, and Shelesh, and Amal. The sons of Zophah, Suah, and Harnefer, and Shual, and Beri, and Imrah, Bezer, and Hod, and Shammah, and Shilshah, and Ithran, and Be'erah. And the sons of Jether, Jephunneh, and Pispah, and Ara. And the sons of Ulah, Ara, and Haniel, and Reziah. All these were the children of Asher, heads of their father's house, choice and mighty men of valor, chief of the princes. And the number throughout the genealogy of them that were apt to the war and to battle was 26,000 men. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we continue on with the settling of the land and the spreading out of the tribes into their districts. And we hear about several different tribes here. I have read this week probably, two or three different commentaries on sections like this and on this section as well. And while there are several things that we can make note of, there are many things that are unknown to us. And there are many conjectures that you'll find in different sorts of commentaries. The first thing I want to make known to you is that these genealogies differ from other earlier genealogies in Scripture. This is not a faith assaulting thing. We know that genealogies are given according to particular themes, according to particular understandings of things. Here, what the chronicler is bringing out, probably Ezra, is the reputation of the men that he mentions as being mighty and men of valor. Three times in the passage we have from three different tribes that these were men of might and valor, that they knew how to defend their homeland, that they knew how to stand up against invaders, that they knew how to take the land that God had given them and to defend it. And so that's the first thing we want to remember here, is that genealogies do differ. They differ in that, number one, not every generation is mentioned in a genealogy. Sometimes we can have as many as three and four fathers skip, right? They're not even mentioned in the genealogy. And then we hear that this man was the son of this other man. Well, we know that there were four or three intervening men there, and yet, in the biblical way of understanding, he's still his son, and that fact doesn't change. This week, I got to meet a grandson that I had not met yet. Well, in a sense, he is my son, because he's my son's son, right? And so, this is how we understand some of those discrepancies. Of course, the discrepancies will never satisfy critics of the Bible, and there are even scholars that are otherwise believing scholars, who claim to believe in the Lord and to rest upon Christ and his finished work. that will say things like, well, this is a scribal error, this is an error of understanding on the part of the chronicler, and so on. We want to reject all those kinds of sinful errors, and we want to embrace that, you know, these men, when they're giving the records of their own families, they just knew more than we do about their families. Why would we not take their word for it? What would their motivation be to simply build up a bunch of names that don't appear anywhere else in Scripture? What would that motivation be? When we begin to drive down into those questions that arise, we see the folly of them. These men are mentioned because they are men of renown, and they had relation to the people that were coming back from the captivity, and they knew where to settle because they knew this valiant man as their own ancestor, or these valiant men as their own ancestors, and their valiant prowess is mentioned here. Why? Because they're coming back into the land and they may have to defend it again. So be like your fathers is really what is being pressed here to us by the chronicler Ezra. So in the first set of folks that we talk about, they are Issachar. And they are blessed by the Lord, a tribe very, very blessed. They had many wives. They were valiant. And there are other things said about Issachar throughout the Scriptures, that the men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32 are men who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine a few months back, and he said that he was preparing a sermon for his presbytery outside of our denomination. He was preparing a sermon for his presbytery, and I said, you know, just be like one of those men of Issachar. He said, what do you mean? Well, 1 Chronicles 12:32 says that they had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. He wrote me after he had preached his sermon and he said, thank you for that word of encouragement. I knew exactly what I was supposed to preach after that. I didn't do anything, but the Lord sure did. And the Lord did with those men of Issachar. He gave them wisdom and understanding of the times so that they know what Israel ought to do. Well, we need men of Issachar today who will also have understanding of the times, who know what Israel ought to do. So let's pray for more men of Issachar to rise up. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 15, we hear that it was the men of Issachar that accompanied Deborah and Barak against Sisera. The men of Issachar were there, those men of valor, fighting the Lord's battles. Well, let us not have that little strength that faints in the day of adversity. Let us be like those men of Issachar. Secondly, we have the sons of Benjamin, and that's from verse 6 through verse 12. Benjamin is also given a place of honor by the chronicler, and they too are said to be men of valor. Let's remember that something about Benjamin. You remember when King Saul, when the prophet Samuel approaches him, what does he say? I'm the least in the house of Kish, which is in the least of the tribes of Israel, Benjamin. You remember that? Well, they're not remembered here for being the least. They're remembered here for being valorous. They're remembered here for being mighty, not the least. So, beloved, let us also, no matter our size, no matter our disposition, no matter if our inheritance is wide or if it is narrow, let us also have valor in the field that the Lord has placed us. Notice also here as we move down the list that Dan is not mentioned. In verse 13, the sons of Naphtali, but in verse 12, notice Shupim also and Hupim, the children of Ir, and Hushim, the sons of Aher. What is Aher? That's a Hebrew word that means the sons of the other one. Many scholars are agreed that this is Dan, who is not mentioned by name for two reasons. The first is, here we are coming back into the land. Where is your inheritance, Dan? We didn't like our inheritance very much, and we left it behind and conquered a careless people in the north country. And the Lord visited that upon Dan, did he not? By having them, one of the first tribes, to lead the way in the idolatry of the northern kingdom. And so many Bible expositors and interpreters agree that Hushim, the sons of Aher, that's all the mention that Dan gets here because of his history and reputation. Then we also have Naphtali, Guni, Jezer, Shalum, the sons of Bilhah. Okay, we remember Bilhah, right? One of those concubines of Jacob. And so, notice, Matthew Henry believes here that we have so little said because their records may have been lost. But the term Naphtali means wrestlings. And that's really all we have here in that section. Then we have verses 14 through 19. The character of Manasseh's line is not mentioned. But we do remember the daughters of Zelophehad and the preservation of that family name, even down to this time here when they are returning to the land. Remember that the daughters of Zelophehad were required to marry within the tribe of Manasseh so that the property rights would not have been transferred to another tribe by virtue of marrying outside their tribe. All right, so now we have the sons of Ephraim. And it's very interesting here. We have a record of something that we don't hear about in the book of Genesis during those days. And what is that record? Well, that Ephraim was moving into his portion of the land, and yet there were Philistines there. And they attacked the men of Ephraim and bested them and drove them out because they were defending their land and their cattle, those Philistines thought. And notice what we read about here, that Ephraim was much affected by that. Ephraim was sorrowed because he had lost, we don't know how many sons, but several sons in that skirmish. And he was grieved, and he comforted himself with his wife, and the Lord gave him another son. How interesting. And certainly, not made up out of whole cloth, as some would say, but a real historical tradition that came down that was not written down in the scripture, but was brought to the mind of Ezra by the Spirit of God to be recorded for us so that we would see the very real struggle that the children of Israel had as they spread themselves out in the land. So an ancient account, Ephraim was still alive. It reminds us that not all of the events and lives and histories of God's people are recorded in Scripture. There are things that take place that are not mentioned, but we are reminded also that the Lord has included those things in those histories that we read for our edification and leaves other things out. Finally, then, we have Asher, and his name is certainly played out upon his descendants. Asher means blessed, right? The Greek word is makarios. Ashrei is how it is put in the Psalter. He is remembered also for his valor. His name was blessed, and certainly his tribe was blessed by the Lord with godly sons, daughters, brothers, and sisters, men of valor, chief of the princes, and they were blessed with 26,000 men. So as they come back then to settle the land, we have this in the seventh chapter, we have a continuation of the spreading out of all of the tribes of Israel. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God.